Recent news stories regarding an ongoing FBI investigation. Jeffrey Schwerz broke this story a couple years back. We're going to do a replay of that conversation. And I've got in the first hour our good friend Randy Webster talking about the music scene in Tallahassee. You don't want to miss this. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
It's good to have you back, my friend. Another opportunity for us to take a look around the room and figure out where all the bones are buried and where the elephants may be. I've always wondered what that really would look like if you had an elephant in your room. I mean, Carl, is that even possible? I guess a little elephant, maybe a baby elephant. Well, in any case, there's certainly... If the saying holds, we got some elephants to be examined in this whole business with former Commissioner Scott Maddox and his dealings with J.T. Burnett. And man, it's, you know, it's a mess, and it hasn't gone away by any means. A recent story that Mr. Schwerz reported had to do with possible favoritism being offered indirectly for the locally based, I guess, originally based Trulieve. So all of that is in the paper, matter of record. And Mr. Schwerz is simply doing the business of, you know, his job, which is to report on such things. And he's, by all accounts, done a pretty remarkable job at that. So we're going to take an opportunity in the second hour. We'll hear from Jeffrey when he was here back in 2018. And that story was really just, we'd say, breaking at the time. Without anything but a weariness, I suppose, in that and us hanging our heads, right, that such things can go on. But they do, don't they? And we see it locally, nationally, statewide, whatever. As long as there are people involved, there is that potential for, you know, misdeeds. And, I mean, sometimes it's between friends. A good friend of mine talking about a business deal that just kind of went sideways, where this is a person that he's had in relationship with business that they've done together for a number of years, and basically just kind of cut my friend out of the action when it came right down to it, and involving some film production and music and such, you know. And so there was this film debut. My friend sitting in the theater for this debut, knowing that a piece of his music was included in the film, And, you know, rolling all the way through to the end of the movie or whatever, and there's this rolling of the credits, customary. And my friend's name is not listed, so he's not credited for the music. And when he questioned his colleague, his friend, his business associate about it, the claim was, well, there wasn't any money involved. Well, upon further investigation, turns out, yeah, there was a sizable amount of money involved that his friend decided just to pocket for himself. Now, mind you, this is a person that he's known and felt like was a good friend and worked with extensively, been involved in other projects with this guy. And so he called him out and said, well, what were you thinking? Really? I mean, not only did you cheat me, then when I asked you about it, having seen that I wasn't credited in the film, you lied to me. Because, in fact, he was able to kind of do some sleuthing, which wasn't too difficult. He went to the producer of the film, and he had his agent talk with the film producer, and without being able to actually disclose the details, because, yeah, I mean, that is confidential, he simply said, yeah, there was a contract, and monies were paid. Wow. So, you know, when you stop and think, what would it take for me, for you, to give in to what I think is universal? I don't think any of us should at any one time, and this is probably the most dangerous thing to do anyway, is to assume that we couldn't, that we're not capable of such things. We should all assume that we're capable of it, I think. And in knowing so, if you just can't keep your hand out of the cookie jar, well then for heaven's sakes, somebody put a lock on that jar and make sure you don't have the key. You know, go into any situation with some kind of accountability, with a third party or parties. You know, be willing to say, I don't need to be the person who is writing the checks and make and getting paid, you know, coming in and out. And talk to local business owners. This happens too often, where they're trusting an employee, somebody in their billing office. And, you know, the most dangerous thing to do is to put that one person or a couple of people with all of the control. So they have the power to sign checks. They have the power to make deposits. Are you kidding me? You're asking for trouble. And I don't care how long this person has known you, worked with you, how much you trust them. Yeah, well, there you go. So it happens that when it comes to a community like Tallahassee, and let's say, I mean, we're still a small town, in spite of what the Chamber of Commerce may want to think, or, you know, Visit Tallahassee or anybody else in that business, you know, we're a small town. And we should be proud of that, frankly. And there's a lot to be said about small towns. In fact, isn't it true? Most of America, most of what we know to be worthwhile, it's just common folk in small towns across this country. And there it is. And so you have to stop and ask yourself, what is it that pushes us in that direction? I mean, there's as many answers as there are questions, but I would say accountability is a big deal. And I'd also say that we should never think that we're above it. As a community, as an individual, never think that we can't succumb to that kind of shenanigans. Yep. So it's a sad tale, but it's a healthy, I think, reminder that we are subject to this kind of behavior. And shall we not say thank you, Father in heaven, for a guy like Jeffrey Schwerz? And in, you know, in this conversation that you're going to hear later on, he talks at length about the details of this thing. And I, you know, I even asked him, do you worry about your welfare? I mean, where there's that kind of money involved, and, you know, there's a lot of money involved in medical marijuana. Have we not noticed? Yeah. It can get dicey, right? So in any case, that's what's coming up. And in this first hour, we're going to take a little lighter step in the direction of local music, the music scene, and none better than Randy Webster to talk about that. Long time accomplished blues artist, Big Daddy and the Red Hot Java, his band. Well known around the country and a local favorite for sure. So, folks, that's what we're doing. Stay with me. We'll be back.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Big Daddy Webster, also known as Randall, the amazing music man Webster, an undeniable musical connection between Webster's blues and his audience, and says the Big Daddy, the tradition of playing music from the soul is much the same overseas as it is here in America, and people really tap into that. It's all about reaching people's primal core with music, and here we have Big Daddy himself on this occasion talking about music of your own, not pitching anybody else's stuff here. This is cool. And we're going to talk a little bit about your view of the local scene and kind of how things are progressing there. And I can ask you those kind of questions because I know that while the blues has been your mainstay, you've got a great, I think, a grasp of a lot of what's going on musically for Tallahassee. Where do you want to start?
Oh, goodness.
What's on your mind this morning there, brah?
You know, every morning I wake up and I have a little mini recorder I keep by the bed. Because a lot of times I'll go to bed thinking of a song in my head to write, and it's halfway written by the time I wake up. And whatever I can remember in those dream state, I try to get it down, recorded before it disappears. That's the toughest thing to do, but if you can do it, it's wonderful.
Wow.
And the core of what I do has always been more the songwriting. Like right now with my band, we might do 30 songs in an evening, and I would say maybe 4 or 5 might be cover tunes. The rest are all originals. So yeah, we really focus on that.
Very cool. And I've been the beneficiary of your music for a number of years. And I can report to our listeners that you and I met back in the day doing a fundraiser for one of the local charities, and now it's escaped me, but we were there on stage at Ruby Diamond.
Oh, I remember
that. And man, you guys came out and just nailed it. And I watched the audience, and everybody was just sort of sitting back, and then their eyes began to glisten. I mean, they were just
I remember taken. That show. It was interesting. It was for Habitat for Humanity. I was on the board of directors at the time.
And, there we go.
That particular show, we had over 100 performers in all different genres.
It was a remarkable show.
And that was the wall of sound when my band hit the stage, because we had the my band, which at that time was 13 pieces.
I remember.
3 backup singers, 5 horns, keyboard, bass, guitar, and myself. And then for the grand finale, we did with a little help of my friends with the Philadelphia Primitive Baptist Church singing with us. And so there was about 200 people on stage.
It was remarkable. Yeah. But you guys nailed it. And you've gone on in the years since. You've been in Ireland, I don't know how many times.
58 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about that, because I noticed in some of these things I was reading about, this notion of, and this is quoting you, playing music from the soul. Seal dan anum, is that right?
Kill dan anum.
Kill dan anum is the Irish phrase, I guess, Celtic, huh?
Right.
And that really speaks to where blues gets its foundation.
Well, I think any music gets its foundation from the soul. You know, if you get too analytical about it, it loses the humanity of it. Mm. And so I really think you need to sing and perform and write what you feel. And in terms of Ireland in particular, they have a tremendous love of music. And for just such a small country, it's only, you could put four Irelands geographically in the state of Florida.
And yeah, that's a remarkable thought when you consider the contribution musically and literature. I mean, my goodness, most of what we know about English literature, I think, has some connection back to Ireland.
And the total population of Ireland, both the Republic and Northern Ireland, is a little over 5 million people. So you could, again, have four times as many people as the country of Ireland in the state of Florida.
Remarkable.
So they, for such a small country, they have a tremendous contribution to music in particular and literature, as you say. And I think it's because part of it's because they have so much of their season year round related to being indoors. It's cold and rainy, and you're looking for something constructive to do. So you pick up the guitar, or the mandolin, or the fiddle, and you sit in front of the fireplace and you play with your family. It's like rather than turning on the radio, they actually play the music.
Yeah.
And there's also a similar culture inside the pubs. The pubs there, any age can come into the pubs. Uh-huh. And so you might see a grandpa, grandma, mom, dad, and then the children, maybe grandchildren, all generations together in the pub singing along to songs being performed. So it's in their blood, and they if you sing with heart and soul, if you perform with heart and soul, they welcome you with open arms. It's really tremendous. I've never failed to have a wonderful time performing there.
You personally have connections to your Irish roots? Is that part of your family DNA or no?
Well, it came over with Cromwell, so I don't talk about it too much. But the family, the Irish part of my family was in Leinster, which is right in the southern part of Northern Ireland.
Okay.
And
So genuinely, there is a connection there for you.
There is a connection. Yeah. Actually, the reason why I started going to Ireland in back in 1991, we were in the process of trying to create a sister city in Tallahassee.
I remember that.
It's a place in Ireland. Yeah. And I was on the organizing committee for that. And we searched for different cities around the world, but we settled in on Ireland. And then once we picked Ireland, we settled in on Sligo, Ireland.
Yeah.
And so I was involved with a sister city program and commuted back and forth several times for that.
Interesting. And you've been known under this title, Big Daddy and Red Hot Java. Is that always been the name of the band? No.
Well, no. Big Daddy I got from a guy named Lincoln Beauchamp McGraw. He's a singer, songwriter, author out of Chicago. And he'd come down to perform with the band that I had at the time, the Mighty Big Blues Band.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a 13-piece band.
That was the one that we got to
at the concert,
hear
yeah.
at that particular fundraiser.
At
right,
Ruby
okay.
Down.
Right, right, right.
And so we were rehearsing with Bo, and we stopped right in the middle of one of the songs to fix something, and I was belting it out. And he said, "Oh, man, you must be Big Daddy. You're singing louder than the whole horn section." So. So that kind of stuck from him. And he's a real blues man, so I did appreciate that moniker.
Very cool.
And then Big Daddy and Red Hot Java came up a little bit after the Mighty Big Blues Band. I had the Mighty Big Blues Band for a while, and then we kind of broke up, and we had another group that was more jazz fusion called Lazuli. L-A-Z-U-L-I, which is actually lapis lazuli.
Oh, gotcha. Cool.
And that went for a while. And then following that became Big Daddy and Red Hot Java. And we're on our 21st year making music.
He's in the house. Big Daddy is right here with us. Randall Webster, our good friend, a friend of many. You stay with me. We've got more with Randy. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers Spacious Showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back with Randall Webster, Big Daddy, and his Red Hot Java, the seven-piece band that wows his audience every time they are out playing, whether it's in Ireland or here. What's coming up for you? You've got several dates on your calendar already.
We've been kind of trying to do a mixture of venues, and we've done some smaller venues, kind of semi-unplugged lately, which has been a great fun because it really makes it easier to connect with the audience when you can actually see each other's eyeballs. So our next show is actually at the Black Dog Cafe in Railroad Square there.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's a small venue. We'll probably fit 100 people in there or so.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost becomes a conversation with the audience in that environment because people can ask questions and you can talk to them.
Indeed.
Just like you're sitting on the couch
Indeed.
Someplace.
Danny Bedrosian has said that. He was here recently and talked about that experience for him. He plays up there at the Chop House in Thomasville mm-hmm. frequently. And he likes those intimate moments because he can really tune his song list for the evening based on who he sees sitting in the house.
Yeah.
You know, who's sitting there. Do you do that as well? Do you kind of read the audience and decide one way or the other? Or do you go in with your set and say, this is our show? Or in those smaller moments?
Yeah, I tend to make up a set for each, specifically for each venue.
Okay, so you kind of go in with that. Yeah.
For a few reasons. One is I sing. When I sing, it's pretty hard on my voice sometimes.
No. It's hard on your voice all the time.
So I found that if I change the keys of songs,
yeah.
it forces me to use different parts of my voice.
Yeah.
And I'm not wearing out songs that are an A in that range.
Mm.
So it also keeps it musically interesting, too, for the audience to have different keys. So I like to mix it up key-wise and also in terms of I like to build the set up to kind of a crescendo and then maybe break it down and do
right.
a quiet song.
Right.
Have some, I think of it like a disc jockey because I was a disc jockey for
Indeed.
Many years.
Indeed.
And I like to think how it mixes together.
Interestingly enough, though my participation as a musician has been modest and certainly pales in comparison. But when I was in high school, I discovered my long-lived devotion to Joe Cocker, right? So he became sort of my fave, and I'm quite certain I wore out the vinyl disc of Mad Dogs and Englishmen. So a high school band got wind of my interest in Joe, and they heard me do my Joe Cocker voice singing, a little help from my friends.
Yeah.
And so I actually did that at a high school dance or whatever. And over the years following, it became when you talk about the damage you do to yourself, it became a real problem because In my college days, I was training to be an opera singer. So my voice, and I would, you know, on the weekends, I'd be playing around and somebody'd say, hey, do Joe Cocker, you know, and I'd come back in for the voice lesson. And my coach was like,
you've been drinking glass.
What did you do? Yeah, right. So I had to kind of give that up. But our friend Ron Frazier continues to plague me with this. He'll say, oh, do Joe Cocker. And no, I can't because I won't be able to talk for 3 days.
I had a quick story about Joe Cocker. The band was heading over to Europe. We're doing England, France, and Ireland on the particular tour. And we were on a layover in Kennedy Airport in New York. And I went into one of the airport deli there to get a sandwich and something to drink. And the guy right in front of me looked just like Joe Cocker. And I'm thinking, oh. So I had to ask. So I kind of tapped him on the shoulder and said, are you Joe Cocker? And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I said, I love your work, you know. And right, we talked for a little bit. And then he invited me to sit down with him. So we ended up having a meal together.
Understood that was his manner with people. He was very personable.
Very down to earth.
Yeah.
Very down to earth. Yeah. But, and then to follow up on your thing about destroying your voice, the first CD I did with my band was live at Dave CC Club, the precursor to the Brentford Blues Club.
Right.
And that was a live recording we did there. The second one was...
When was that?
That would have been 1991, 92, something like that.
Yeah, just at the beginning of the decade. Yeah.
And then in 1995, we did another CD, The 24th Hour. And we just come back from a European tour to when we recorded this. I had done 21 shows in 19 days over in Europe.
Wow.
And then I had to get in and sing. And so it's probably the roughest vocal, closest to Joe Cocker because of all that harshness on the voice. And
well, let's do this. Let's take a moment and listen to that, and we'll find out just exactly how merciless you are when it comes to your vocal cords. So here we have Big Daddy on this vintage recording of Red Hot, Big Daddy and Red Hot Java back in the day.
Buy myself a new Cadillac house. Coming back, hey. I've been driving all night loud, top down with the radio on. Ooh, yeah, a new Cadillac. Wow, got myself a new Cadillac. American steel, glass and crown. Over job to take my home. A leather seat hot to the touch. And overdrive, she ain't too much. Ooh, yeah, a new Cadillac. Driving all night long, tap down in the radio.
come on, that's out there. Oh, little girl, coming to you. Help, help.
Big Daddy and Red Hot Job of the 24th Hour, this vintage album from back in the day, with the song New Cadillac. Yeah, no wonder you talk about the wear and tear on your old carcass. So you basically recorded it all within 23 hours, and then the 24th hour was the pressing.
And listening to it.
Of the disc, and then actually sitting back and listening, deciding whether or not this was going to be airworthy material. Well, I can assure you, my friend, it is, and glad to have it as part of our lineup here today. I've got Big Daddy with me, Randall Webster. You stay with me. We're going to talk with this fellow a little bit more.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge, fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Randall Webster, Big Daddy, and his remarkable band, Red Hot Java. He has this program, an education program, Randall, that you have done for some time, Blues from the Inside Out, an introspection of blues. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I kind of stumbled into playing blues music. I started out when I was playing music doing the kind of contemporary folk music, Neil Young in America and the Eagles and all that stuff. And but I was born and raised in Chicago, and so I heard the blues. And when I was a kid, I used to sneak into on the train into the Loop in downtown Chicago and go down to Maxwell Street and hear. Literally, I saw John Lee Hooker sitting on a orange crate with his amplifier plugged in from the store inside playing blues. So I had a taste of it very young, but I didn't really listen to it that much. And I stumbled into playing the blues, and the more I got into it, the more I played and the more I liked it. But I didn't realize the history of it. People would ask me questions, and I just didn't know the history of it. So I started learning about the whole history of blues and where the evolution of it and where it came from and so forth. And it became a presentation that I would do. And when you're on tour, the hardest days to book a band is Monday, Tuesday, and sometimes Wednesday. So what we would do on those days is do blues education programs as a group in local cultural and art centers and schools. Wherever we might be on the road. And I get as much out of that as anything, because it really reinforces to the people that are there the foundation that the music's built on.
Fantastic. Here you are, the executive director for Tallahassee Community Chorus. In my view, that chorus is a sort of ambassador for Tallahassee around the world.
It really is. It's been a tremendous experience for me, and I thoroughly enjoy my work. I don't sing with the chorus. My voice is not compatible necessarily with the kind of singing the chorus does.
Well, who knows? Now that could there could be an opening there. We'll see how that works out. Maybe they'll do a sort of Joe Cocker thing.
You never know.
Then again, maybe not.
But it actually, in a way, is good to not be directly singing with the chorus, because I'm continually awed every time they perform. I get goosebumps when the chorus performs. And when you have a full orchestra of 60 people and 200, 250 people singing.
It really is.
It really is. And it's a group of wonderful people, too. I mean, kind-hearted folks.
Do you think that, I mean, this is the question I ask often about our local music scene. I mean, and I've asked a lot of folks this question who are themselves performers or directors and, you know, Melanie Mays, who runs the artistic series, and Jan Smith, your colleague with the chorus, and people at FSU. And I mean, we seem to have a formidable, I guess you'd say, contribution. We have a formidable standing in the world of music as a community.
For a community our size, the music scene here is tremendous. Everything from bluegrass to concertos and everything in between is tremendous. And it's really remarkable in that we don't have the corporate presence that other cities our size have.
Yeah.
So the funding is not what it typically would be with a 300,000-person community.
Right.
So it means people really giving of themselves to make it happen. And
the chorus is a good example, isn't it? Because those folks come in there, we'd say, on their own dime. They're volunteering.
Yep. Absolutely.
And it seems to me, too, that we mentioned the Bradfordville Blues Club. I know that you have worked very hard, even in the last, 10, 15, 20 years, for Tallahassee's sake, on that whole business of promoting blues music.
I actually was on the board of directors for the Appalachian Blues Society, which was a not-for-profit 501c3 organization to promote blues music. And everything that I perform is blues-based music. And so it's great. And we did blues in schools programs. We put on concerts and we put on festivals. That's kind of fluttered away for a while. There's a kind of a up and down of those kinds of organizations, depending on who is in leadership and such. But
and of late, with the Bradfordville Blues Club building having incurred this damage, the big oak tree fell on the building and damaged everything, and then there was the fundraising efforts that went forward, and it looks like they've come back. You know, they're recovered. The historic significance of that itself, that particular place, is part of that whole Chitlin Trail, isn't it?
The Chitlin Circuit, yeah. Actually, there's music performed there under the oak tree before there was a building. The oak tree that fell, actually. So
is the one.
Is the one. it was part of the Chitlin Circuit, which was during the times of segregation, where black artists could perform for primarily African-American audiences. And another one of those places was the Red Bird Cafe, which is actually a tune on our Firebird CD.
Oh, neat.
And that was a place on Macomb Street in Frenchtown. And it had an active roster of musicians who would flow through, you know, B.B. King, Little Richard, Ray Charles, Nat and Cannonball Adderley. All these cats would come through and perform at the Red Bird Cafe. And then in the late 60s, early 70s, some of the white college students from FSU discovered the place, and they started coming in, and you had black folk dancing, listening to music with white folk, and everybody was into it except for the sheriff at the time, and he eventually ended up closing down the Redbird Cafe.
Wow. Remarkable stories that come up out of our history and point to even things that are going on now. We've noticed arrival of places like Cat Family Records, and you've got the other studio, Indian Head Factory. These are what we call younger studios. The recording business as such, from your perspective, is that as well alive and growing, and is it maturing from your standpoint?
It is to a degree.
I mean, we're not Muscle Shoals by any stretch.
No.
But
and it's hard to make those kind of operations financially feasible. So I can understand the people that own them, the hardship they go through to really support local music and recording them. It only takes one band to hit it big, though, and all of a sudden you become a mecca. It's like when the band Creed hit it big here, and John Kurzweig, who was local born and raised fella, singer, songwriter, record producer. He was the producer for that CD. And there's a lot of attention brought to the community during that time. But like I said, there's ebbs and flows.
We are flowing right out of this hour, and it's unfortunate because I want to keep you for the whole show. We'll have to have you come back. I know you're going to be back, next week.
A couple weeks, I think.
You're coming up again to talk more about the TC Chorus. Jan Smith will be with you then. But Randall Webster, our good friend, a friend to so many folks in this town, and great musician, great songwriter. Good on you guys.
Thank you.
To quote Tom Flanagan, you are the man. Big Daddy and Red Hot Java is the name of the group. We're going to keep following you, and thanks for being a part of the show today.
Thanks, Brian. It's been a pleasure.
A pleasure. Folks, you stay with me. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
New deals and new specials are now available at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop. Each week, Jerry's will offer double Jerry's Bucks on select featured cigar brands. You'll get 10 Jerry's Bucks for every $50 you spend, plus standard Bucks and Lucker member discounts. It's first come, first served, so don't wait. Curbside pickup is available at both Jerry's Cigar Shop locations, plus free UPS shipping on orders over $29. You can find all the great deals and specials at jerryscigarshop.com. That's jerryscigarshop.com.
Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your favorite radio show of all time, bringing you news and information from across the aisle and across the county and across the region. Up and down we go. Here's news from City of Tallahassee. Tallahassee Police Athletic League now accepting applications for this 2021 Youth Basketball Summer League. What a cool thing to do. Yeah, hot summers, kids needing stuff to do. Well, this particular program is one of their most highly prized. Again, really administered by Tallahassee Police. It provides youth the opportunity to grow under the guidance of dedicated adults who assist them in developing self-esteem, skills, and respect, both on and off the court. That's cool. The program also helps youth develop an understanding of the role of law enforcement, which is also cool. So the season will run between July 12th to August 4th. All games will be played at Jack McLean Community Center. That's at 700 Paul Russell Road. It's every Monday and Wednesday from 6 to 9. Now, you need to get your application in there. And you can learn more about it if you go to talgov.com/police. That's probably the easiest way. There's a phone number here for you, local area, of course, 891-4339. That's the Tallahassee Police Athletic League program, accepting applications. Very good. Further news from the city, two Tallahassee officials honored as Home Rule Heroes by way of the Florida League of Cities. And this was awarded to John Daly, our mayor, and city manager Reese Goad. They were given the Home Rule Hero Award, each of them, earned this prestigious award for their tireless efforts, it says tireless, to protect the home rule powers of Florida's municipalities and advance the league's legislative agenda during the 2021 legislative session. Home rule is the ability for a city to address local problems with local solutions with minimal state interference. Home Rule Hero Award recipients are local government officials, both elected and non-elected, who consistently responded to the league's requests to reach out to members of the legislature and help give a local perspective to an issue. So basically, we have the mayor and city manager, Mr. Goad, advocating on behalf of Florida's League of Cities with the state legislature. And for that, they got a very handsome-looking certificate. So kudos to those gentlemen. And let's see, elsewhere, we have this Play It Forward going on. And that's today at 4:30. And it's at the Willow Pond event menu out there on Lewis Road, 200 W.T. Lewis Road, Monticello. This is a fundraiser that's encouraging reconnection and unity in our community. It features Star Swain, Reckon South, Rebecca Hare Stewart, and Michael Cattell, the Elect of God, Jim Crozier, Once, and Once Great Estate. These are all artists that will be performing. The tickets are $10 per person. If you're under 13, if you're 13 or under, admission is free. You can purchase tickets or simply show up, I'm quite certain. But you can go to admin, there's the address, email address, admin@NAMI, that's N-A-M-I, N-A-M-I, -Tallahassee.org. So there's that. And this is all about really providing support for local artists, as we all will quickly acknowledge. You know, this last 18 months have been devastating for anybody performing and depending on those performances for their income. Yeah, it's pretty tough to do. Our friends at the Bradfordville Blues Club will tell you, you know, when everything is shut down, yeah, it's kind of rough. So anyway, that's happening this afternoon at 4:30. You need to be mindful of that. Participate in it if you can. What else have I got for you here? I think that's about it for now. We have done very well with our Tallahassee Food Challenge promotion, the annual event that runs March, April, actually April, May, and June. So we are now just wrapping all of that up. Have had opportunity of late to talk with our good friend Tom Flanagan over there at WFSU. And kudos to them and all of those folks for helping us get the word out, as well as our good friend over there at WTVM, Real Talk 93.3, Greg Tisch. Had a chance to talk with him in length about this whole effort. And thanks to the businesses, the people who put forward their ad dollars in sponsorship of this effort. You've probably by now seen billboards and TV and heard radio ads and such. All of this designed to make sure that we are aware of the fact that there's roughly about 22,000 people in our community that find themselves in a very tough, tough spot. It's what folks at Second Harvest will say is food insecurity. And it means very simply, you don't know when your next meal is going to come and where it will come from. So that food insecurity issue remains. And while we could all sit back and say, well, you know, it's not my problem, or, you know, these are people that are clearly deficient in some fashion, they can't hold a job, or, you know, whatever kind of rationalization you want to that you want to lift up there, good for you, you know. Meanwhile, there are people in this community who say, while we're trying to figure out how to make things better for this population of folks, bear in mind, a lot of these folks are your fellow employees. They're sitting across the way from you there at your office. They're not going to tell you. And how could that possibly be? Well, because their husband or their wife got laid off last year, and they haven't been able to get reemployed, at least not in a gainful way. So there's a struggle going on that has added to the burden of this population. And by the way, the statistics are clear. In this 11-county area that Second Harvest of the Big Bend serves, well, that food insecurity percentage doubled So while statewide food insecurity across the population was somewhere around 13%, it went to 14%, right? In Tallahassee and the surrounding region, we were at 15 and now we're at 30%. How is that possible? Because we live in a community that is largely agrarian, and this bubble that we live inside of called Leon County / Tallahassee, the work environment is, frankly, is limited. It's narrow. You know, when you find out that the average employee for city, county, state, they're struggling. Local businesses doing the same thing, struggling to make payrolls. So, my friend, you can still help. If you want to go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com, that's the best thing to do. Make a donation. It's easy to do that. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com, there's a donate button there. Do it right now before you forget. Thanks.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Jeffrey Schwiers is an award-winning veteran reporter who has come full circle in his career, returning to the Tallahassee Democrat 2 years ago as its watchdog reporter. He started his career at the Democrat covering K through 12 issues when he was a thinner and had more hair on his head. Well, I didn't write this now.
That's for the benefit of the people who can't see
I don't know why we had to include that. But in any case, more importantly, his career took him all over the country, from Tallahassee to Las Vegas, back to Florida. He's covered the Florida legislature for several news organizations, has the distinction of being the last Capitol Bureau reporter for the Tampa Tribune before that newspaper was shut down. He's an alumni of the Independent Florida Alligator and the University of Florida. Let's welcome our guest this morning, Jeffrey Schwiers. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks a lot.
I think you have plenty of hair. And
oh, I know.
You
I
look fine.
Quite more. That's just a nice way of saying that. It's been a long time since I started my career.
For all of your high school friends that are trying to figure out who is this guy,
who is
right?
this guy?
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're here. And, Jeff, you've certainly contributed sizably over the last 2 years that you've been here, even within the last 18 months, especially regarding such things as FBI investigations and, you know, city commissioners and CRA money and all of this that has, you know, we didn't want you to get bored. So apparently upon
well,
your return.
I guarantee you that I have not been bored since coming back to Tallahassee. It's been an amazing ride, the variety of stories that I've done, and then just since a year ago June, when the subpoenas were dropped on City Hall, my partner Jeff Berlow and I we calculated we've written between like over 100 stories just on the FBI investigation of the city and the Community Redevelopment Agency, right, or at least trying to figure out what the investigation really is about.
So what I want to see is your Facebook posting prior to your return to Tallahassee. Yeah, I'm going to go back and just kind of ease in, just take it easy for this will be a nice way of kind of finishing out my career.
I wish I could say that.
Bam.
No, well, and then I came back here to cover the legislature for the Tampa Tribune.
Yeah.
And that was certainly no vacation either. I mean, it was like it was no walk in the park because it was a very tumultuous session. Huh. And then a month after or 2 months after the session ended, the Tampa Bay Times bought the Tampa Tribune. And so shut it down.
So you still have your hazmat suit in the closet. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. So, and then, you know, luckily, fortunately, the Tallahassee Democrat, you know, saw my situation and asked me to come over and start writing for them. And I was very happy to because, you know, I found a really good team to work with over there.
That's my take as well.
You know, having that, that bit of, you know, experience under my belt. It's you know, it's mellowed me. You learn how to get along with other people, and you learn how to be a team and not be a bunch of individuals.
And that's especially, I would think, that's especially critical in the kind of business that you find yourselves, where every second that goes past is another deadline. There's another. So the pressure is always on, especially in the 24-hour news cycle we live.
Well, yeah, we're not a print product only anymore. We haven't been for a long time. We are, you know, we are online, and we are constantly breaking news online. You know,
there's never any closure.
It's not like there is not ever a deadline. There's always a deadline.
It's like,
and
it's like as soon as you hit send, you're on to the next assignment, or you've got several at one. How does that work?
Sometimes that's very literally true. Sometimes you finish one story, and you go right to the next one, and or you know, sometimes, you know, in the course of like say a 24-hour cycle, we might break a story and with just nothing more than a sentence.
Yeah.
And then as we develop material and interview people and we build that story online.
Yeah.
And we
give, as it happens
with noting the hour and the minute that we're updating.
Isn't that incredible?
With fresh information.
It really is.
It's amazing. And then at the end of the day we take all that and turn it into a story for the next day. And come in the next day and start all over again. Yeah, it's exciting.
The CRA story, the FBI investigation for you in your career, where does that rank in terms of, I don't know, the most engaging, the most demanding, the most OMG? I don't know.
All of the above. It is, yes, it is without a doubt the most important story I think I think of all the work that I do is important, and you know, you find that out sometimes after, like when I'm leaving a community to go to another place, that people say, what are we going to do without you? You've been done such a great job covering the county commission or the school board or whatever. And I think that's, you know, but a story like this is like so many shades and levels above, you know, just being able to inform people. It's being able to provide insight, being able to try to give a sense of where this thing is going without getting too far ahead of ourselves, without speculating, trying to be responsible and level-headed and it's challenging because, you know, it's like, imagine you're on a treasure hunt and the only bit of information you have is a scrap of paper that says, we want 90,000 pages of meeting records and minutes and emails about, you know, these half dozen or so people and their business entities and, you know, their involvement with the CRA. And that's all you have to build your map with. It's like, okay, we have this. This is our, we have to take the subpoena and use that to go forward in making our own, you know, separate requests for other public records, and try to put together what is happening here, you know, like, and the value of that just to the public is letting them see the process, you know, or letting them see the connections between the people doing business with the CRA and the people who sit on the CRA, or you know, things that you don't normally see you know, when you hear that so-and-so got a grant, a facade grant, well, that's all you know. Then we get a chance to go kind of to pull the curtain back
yeah.
in this kind of an investigation.
Talking with Jeffrey Schwerers, he is the veteran reporter over there at the Tallahassee Democrat, their watchdog reporter, as they've affectionately referred to. Certainly doing a bit of that for us here today. Thank you for tuning in. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WhiddonGlass.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Jeffrey Schwerers, who has said it's okay to call you Jeff. So
yeah, Jeff's
we're gonna,
fine.
We're going to go with the informal. You have for your 2 years now upon your return to Tallahassee. We talked about this in the first few minutes. We were talking being launched into this story.
You know, at the very outset, it was like, you know, the proverbial fire hose. You know, yeah. I hate to use that phrase, but
felt that way.
It felt that way because we were uncovering so much information, and then we would get an occasional break, and then there would be another, like, flood of information and more stories. And then, you know, and I think the readers have seen that kind of ebb and flow where, you know, we would try and set up a game plan. Like, we're going to look into this group over here. And right. we're going to look into this guy here.
Right.
What are their connections to this person or that right. person? What are their, trying to, you know, suss out who else was involved in these projects where they got CRA money.
You're starting to pull on this thread, and the thread is just going on and on. How much of that came to you? How much of it have you had to dig for and go out and find, or has it been a sort of 50-50?
Well, I think the first part was, you know, building the foundational stories based on the subpoena
yeah.
and the information in the subpoena. It gave us the names of people.
Yeah.
It gave us their LLCs that had been doing business with the CRA.
Yeah.
And we would go and, all right, well, what were these businesses? What projects did they bring before the CRA, and how much money did they get? And basically, you know, compiling, you know, data. Here's what we know.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is potentially the scope of the FBI's investigation. You know, and then we started, then at some point, we started getting, you know, tips about different aspects. And we'd follow them through, and sometimes they panned out, sometimes they didn't. And then another subpoena, you know, then we got another subpoena that for the first time named an elected official that, you know, the FBI was interested in. And so that took us off in a whole other set of directions. You know, we had fertile fields already.
So I'm getting this picture. Who's walking into whose office at this point, right? Is it you walking into Hatfield and going, you're not going to believe this?
Or Hatfield would come to me and go, look at this email that I found. You know, a lot of the information that came out of the FBI subpoenas and our subsequent public records request for all those records
right.
were emails that were, you know, exposed a lot of information that we were able to tell our readers about.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, really talk about an exercise in deep diving into public records and, you know, also, you know, the learning the value of a public records request right. and how important the state's public records laws are. The public records law in Florida is so important to our job as reporters. You can get so much information that, you know, isn't readily available, but it's there. And
the backstory on that is that they, the city finally had said to you, nah, we're not doing this unless you're willing to pay this enormous
fee. There was a huge amount of money that they wanted to charge us. And we fought that. And, you know, then there was also an issue with a specific bit of information that we requested that they said didn't exist that we found out did exist. And that led to them rewriting their public records rules about text messages and using their personal cell phones and personal, you know, emails that now the city commission didn't have this rule. And now before they didn't have this rule. And now they do.
Now they do.
So, you know, as far as being a watchdog and providing a public service, and one of the things that every reporter I know has ever, you know, hoped for is a story or a series of stories that leads to some sort of reform or change, or, you know, change in a statute
for the
or
public good.
Change in an ordinance that is for the public benefit.
Yeah, yeah. When you are in the midst of all of it, right, it's got to be this swirl of information. And I don't even want to ask you how many hours you. I mean, do you actually have a life left by the time you're engaged in something of this magnitude? And I mean, for all of you, there's a lot of late night hours being burned in the process, I would have to imagine.
Yeah, there have been. You know, we try to keep it sane. We don't want to burn out. And, you know,
Skip was burned out when he got here. I mean, you know, that was him saying that, not me. You know?
You mean for when he came from Fort Walton to Tallahassee? I mean, I had just, look.
I know he's listening, so I have to, you know, throw something
at him. Well, if he is, hi, Skip.
Yeah.
I mean, I had come from the Gainesville Sun, where I had covered the University of Florida. And I had done my own, already been through, you know, 2.5 years of going back and forth with their flex over public records.
Yeah.
And some of the public records that I was after were like their, you know, the UF campus police department's investigative reports on sexual assault.
Hmm.
And also I pulled the veterinarian records of their lab animals, especially the beagles. In fact, I won a first place in the Florida Society of News Editors for investigative reporting on this piece that I did about beagles and their mistreatment. And the only way I got that story was by, you know, fighting over getting these public records, basically getting veterinarian reports that are public records and door charts, you know, and then following up. Yeah. I mean, it's painstaking. And in the case of like this sort of thing that we've been working on with the CRA is, you know, you're looking at financial records, grant requests, and financial records, and real estate records, and you're looking at how real estate changed hands back and forth and back and forth. Mm-hmm. And I would go home at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, just numb. And then go to bed and start dreaming about it all over again. So even in my sleep, I was like going through, you know, deeds and mortgage paperwork.
So for you, those were dreams. For some other people involved, those were nightmares.
They were nightmares. I mean, the only break is like to occasionally every few months. Yeah. Take a week off and get out of town. And
wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That raises the question in my mind, too, as you're pursuing something of this, and it's not, again, like you say, not the first time in your career, that is this intense and that there is this much at stake for a lot of stakeholders, including us, the public, right?
Absolutely.
When you are doing your job, does it happen that you are challenged by people, let's say, even offline, who come back to you and, hey, you know, why don't you shape up or this kind of stuff? Or is that just a bunch of drama that I'm, you know,
It's absolutely fair to ask, you know, the question. The kind of feedback I get varies. It covers all sides of the spectrum,
as we might expect then. Okay.
You know, a piece, I wrote a piece about, this is unrelated to the FBI investigation, but I wrote a piece about Mayor Gillum's use of a parking pass, an airport parking pass. Mm. And here's the thing, is the airport has had this policy of giving, you know, a lot of different officials these parking passes so they can park at the airport for free.
Yep.
And, you know, Gillum and the other city commissioners, they all use it. And when we did our public records request and got the information, we saw that, you know, the mayor was using it four times as frequently as the next commissioner. And so we asked, and we found that he was using that, you know, 90%+ of the time for his gubernatorial campaigning, because, as I'm sure all your listeners know, he's running for governor.
Right.
And so that, you know, it raised a question. So for some people, and some people were friends of mine, saying, what is this all about? Oh, that's just, don't you have anything better to write about? And then other people who, you know, would, you would say were good government watchdog types, said, good on you. You know, it's an important story. That's just a good example. And we, throughout the course of what we've been doing with the FBI investigation, you know, we get criticism and praise.
Yeah.
And I don't know if equal measures, but I'd say we're getting more encouragement. I think people want to get to the bottom of this. I think we get, a lot of people want it to end.
Yeah.
You know, we have some city commissioners who are just like, this, you know, this must end, so, because, you know, Tallahassee's great.
Right. Let's just wrap this up
Let's
and
just
move
wrap
on.
This up and
right.
move on.
Yeah.
As if there's, you know, no dysfunction
sure.
at City Hall.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong.
Fine.
And that this, and there's like, this hasn't been, you know, the then from what the what we are getting from the FBI investigation, it seems like this is something that's been
remarkable.
Going on for years.
Remarkable.
You know.
Talking with Jeff Squeers here about Tallahassee's most recent happenings regarding the CRA investigation, the FBI conducting now what's gone on for better than a year and a half, I guess, maybe in terms of its public awareness, been going on for some time beyond that. But it all came to bear when the Tallahassee Democrat began making this available to us in their reporting, and Jeff's been at the heart of that. We should say, and his partner, Jeff. Jeff and Jeff. The two Jeffs. We're going to continue this conversation. You stay with me. We've got more.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Jeffrey Squeers. Jeff has graciously endured all of my silliness here. And what comes to me from a lot of folks is beyond this question of gentrification, which in and of itself is a big deal, but there's also this identity question, and you're pointing to that. And then there's the concentration of all of that within a very small portion of the geography. When people outside of downtown, let's say, or even outside of some of these circles of people, they're not plugged in. The Cascades Park thing, okay, fine, whatever. You know, they just don't get it. So when you look at how things have changed, and we're talking about that, I remember the question came up when they were at Boulder, this contingent from Tallahassee, and that's when this whole segregated city thing hit the fan from, you know, Richard, Florida. Well, all of that was sort of put down and said, that's not the real Tallahassee he's talking about. Well, that flies in the face of people who are saying, yeah, well, there's a whole part of this town that is so separated and so disenfranchised,
and
they don't know how to get involved.
Yeah, they're disconnected from the process. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a constant, too. I mean, it's, you know, 20 years ago and today, there's this sense that, you know, some people have access and other people don't. You know, when you have an FBI search warrant that lays out a sort of a pay-to-play scheme involving a city commissioner, an alleged pay-to-play scheme that involves a city commissioner and a consulting firm, you know, it affirms what people think is reality, and it's a perception that may or may not be true. We don't know, because we have not gotten to the end of this FBI investigation, right. But it starts those conversations again, and you have people standing up before the CRA going, you need to just abolish the CRA because it's corrupt. and it isn't serving everybody. You're giving millions of dollars to developers who already have money. And this is a quote, paraphrase of what Dr. Edward Holifield said today at the CRA meeting, that you know, you're giving money to rich people when the CRA's job is supposed to revitalize blighted neighborhoods. And City Commissioner Curtis Richardson said, you know, he is glad that he finally got the CRA to expand its boundaries to include some really neglected neighborhoods on the south side. And his words to me was, then that is going to give us the opportunity to refocus the mission of the CRA. So, all right, roundabout way of saying that, you know, there are people who feel like they're not included. There are, you know, maybe that's changing. You know, we've got three new city, we're going to have three new city commissioners after the elections in November. We're going to have a new city manager. We already have a new city attorney who's been with the city for a while. You know, something one of the CRA board members said today, they were received a business pitch from a developer who happens to be an African American, and this CRA board member, he's a member of the county commission, said, "It's the first time I've seen, you know, a black company pitch us." You know, so those are reality. Those are things that I'm hearing when I go to CRA and city commission meetings. These are things that people are talking about. Then you have statistics that say there we have a huge income gap in Tallahassee. We have a very high poverty rate. That is, certainly is a part of Tallahassee. There, yes, Tallahassee is this really generous, giving community full of people who care. I mean, they care about giving to the needy and keeping the food bank shelves stocked and all those things. I mean, you know, but we have these statistic realities too. And I wonder if that's what you mean. Like, are these the things that people are saying, oh, that's not Tallahassee? When in fact, you know, there is a disenfranchised
portion
of our population. I don't know the solution.
You know, well, I'm asking,
get new people running for office.
And I asked that question.
Change the paradigm, perhaps.
I asked the question in relation to the systems that, while the players may change, really determine how questions get asked and answered. So, in other words, we get a whole new bevy of commissioners. But if you haven't changed how things are structured, if you haven't changed how the system works to get things done, well, then you're kind of pushing these people back into that same process. So that has to be part of the consideration.
I guess, I think.
You know, that's my opinion now. I'm not.
You know, the proof is, you know, I guess the challenge then is for the public to ask these candidates for specific ideas and ask them to, you know, for specific answers to, you know, these problems,
and, you know,
before they get elected.
I was at the
you know what what ideas they have.
I was at the NEBA meeting earlier this week or last week, and when in fact the candidates for seat five were asked those kinds of questions, not a whole lot of answers, not a whole lot of specifics. Now, maybe it's a little early yet, right? Okay, so nobody really wants to throw down, but come on, man. You got to have some opinions here, and that was just not coming forward. So I don't know if we got to drill a little further on some of this stuff and try to take authority over the questioning.
Sure.
You know?
Well, I mean, and that's the role of an independent, you know, news media. If we're doing our jobs, and I think we are, then we. It's up to us to challenge the candidates to be more specific than saying something like the devil's in the details or I need more time to examine the issue. When, you know, and in fairness, these candidates, some people who are running for the first time, you know, they have advisors who are telling them not to be too specific, to be vague, because you don't want to get cornered. You don't want to get painted into a corner. That if you do get elected and then people say, well, remember on the campaign trail you said that you were going to do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, and those people, trust me, they will hold those people accountable. And I think it really comes full circle to accountability. you know, we have a job to hold public officials accountable. I think you and your listeners, our readers, have a job to tell us what we should be asking the elected officials, the candidates that are running for office. You know, as us, really, we serve our readers. We serve the public. You know, if we're able to ask the public's questions and give them the answers, then I think we're doing okay.
He is the Tallahassee Democrats watchdog reporter. He is a good friend of this show and to many, and has done a great job for us here this morning. Jeff Schwerz, our guest, and someone who I think we're going to have to stay a lot closer to, if time permits. Now, recall that he's spending 18 out of every 24 hours doing his job over there, so we may not get to see him again for a while. But thank you, Jeff, for making time for us this week.
It was my pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, likewise.
Hope to come back again.
Likewise.
All right.
We'll keep reading. We'll keep finding out from your standpoint what the facts are as they come to bear on this question of not just the CRA investigation, but all the things that you've been good about keeping us informed of.
Thanks.
We appreciate you.
So there you have it, a conversation from 2018 with Jeffrey Schwerz. And it's what we want to do. We want to keep you in the loop on all these kinds of things, because that's what we do here. We are Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio. Based in Tallahassee, we are Moose Magnificat, the sound of Tallahassee, playing all local musicians, their original songs, all the time. Find us online at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer, and I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.